I'd like to share with you a letter. This is what really triggered the lesson I want to teach tonight. It's a letter that I got in last week. And I just want to read a little portion of it to you. It says, I am in love with this girl who loved me too. We loved each other so crazily, but at one point I realized that she had been lying to me for no reason to spend time with her friends and other mates. She liked spending time with boys, and she hid that from me. She said she doesn't have time for me, spending little or no time with me, but she lied to me and was with other people and friends. I always asked God if she was the one for me, and I got positive replies. All I wanted was for her to know her limits with people and live a good life. I did not like her exposing her body by wearing short dresses. I advised her, but she thought I was controlling her and taking away her space. When I asked her to keep her distant from guys, she thought I was controlling her. If she was sent by God, isn't she supposed to be a good person? I mean, a person who loves me and only me, or at least changed to be a good person when I try to change her? I do not understand. Now she has broken up with me, and it's really very hard for me to carry on. Was it my misinterpretation of what God said? Or was it supposed to be like this? I'm praying to God, asking to bring her back in my life. I do not know what to do more. Please pray for me. I'm so confused, and sadness is all that I have in my heart at this time. And as I read through that letter, what really struck me most as I was reading through that was here was a young man who was listing out all the reasons why the girl that he was dating really wasn't a very good girlfriend. That she was not a good choice. And yet he clung all the way through with this notion that he was in love with her. There's an author that once said a very telling point. In fact, it appeared in the paper while I was writing this lesson. It says, we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. People have bias. And our personal bias ends up coloring everything that we see. This boy thought he was in love. Absolutely certain of it. He could not see that she did not reciprocate it. He only saw it as what he thought the world was supposed to be. Sometimes our personal biases get in our ways to the point that we lose sight of reality. And that idea is presented to us a number of times in the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 44, it's a verse that we've used in the adult class a few times recently. But I'd like to go back over it again because it makes a really good point. In Isaiah 44, and we're going to start with verse 14, even though it actually starts a little earlier for the context, but surely he cuts cedar for himself and takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meat as he roasts the roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, I'm warm and I have seen the fire. But the rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, deliver me for you are my God. They do not know, nor do they understand. For he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there any knowledge or understanding to say, I burned half of it in the fire and have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. And then the rest of it I make into abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver himself, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand. The person deceives himself. He never stops to think, hey, I made this God. And now I'm asking it to deliver me. He cannot see that he's lying to himself. He's got blinders on. Men cannot make gods. God created men. It's the other way around. Habakkuk also mentions this problem. In Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 19, or 18 and 19. What profit is the idol when his maker has carved it? Or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For his maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise. And that is your teacher? Behold, is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. Again, the point is, do you not understand that you're basically worshiping yourself? Do you not see the lies that you're telling yourself? Stone and wood is not alive. It can't do anything. And yet people expect it to be a god. One of the reasons for it is they find comfort in that. In Zechariah chapter 10, I'm going to start with verse 12. Zechariah 10 verse 12, I will strengthen them. Oops. And I wrote down the wrong verse. Yes, 1 and 2, sorry. I left off my dash. Zechariah chapter 10, starting with verse 1. Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain, the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He will give them showers of rain, vegetations in the field to each man. For the teraphim speak iniquity. The diviners see lying visions and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They're afflicted because there is no shepherd. People find comfort in this idea that there's somebody there who cares, even if they have to make it up. Even though they are designing their own God to tell them what they want to hear, because it's coming from them, they try for comfort. But there's really no comfort at all, because they're lying to themselves. In our Romans class, we mentioned Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. We haven't quite got there yet. But we looked at the fall of the Greek society, how they made their own gods. And the question is, why did people do that? And it mentions here in Romans chapter 1 verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind to do things which are not proper. People did not want God. It wasn't something that fit their lifestyle and what they desired in a God. They didn't want to think about God, because doing so basically forces them to face the unpleasant reality that they're accountable for their deeds, that they have to answer to somebody who's greater than them for what they choose to do. Over in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, starting in verse 19, John 3 verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. Notice that people did not want to come to the truth because they didn't want what they actually did exposed. So many people tell themselves lies, telling themselves that they're all right. And don't you dare rock the boat by telling them the truth. Because now they lost their comfort. Thus, people like this always attract teachers who are quite willing to tell them exactly what they want to hear. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 3, 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their hearts from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." People much prefer myths if it tells them exactly what they want to hear. And there's always somebody out there that'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. Well, my memories of my teenage years, we were going to hire a new preacher at one congregation. A guy came in, and one of the questions the men asked was, "Well, what are you planning to teach here?" He said, "Well, what do you want to hear?" "No, we want to know what you're going to teach." He said, "Well, whatever you tell me you want to hear, that's what I'll teach." We couldn't get him out of there fast enough. That's not the type of person you want. You want somebody who's interested in the truth and will be willing to teach the truth. But there's always somebody out there to tell you lies. In fact, in Jeremiah's day, in Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 5, and in verse 31, Jeremiah 5, verse 31, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it so." But what will you do at the end of it? Therein lies the problem. People like to be told what they want to hear. They'll prefer being lied to over the truth so long as it's what they want to hear. And oh, the shame of it all. Take a look at Micah. Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2, in my Bible, flip over there, and in verse 11, "If a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, 'I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor,' he would be a spokesman to this people." Somebody that said, "Hey, there's all right to drink all you want to." People will flock to it. Because it's what they want to hear. Not what's good for them. There's another problem, though, when people want to see only what they want to see. It's what we mentioned when we were talking about the story of Elijah. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. Starting with verse 17. "Then Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab said to him, 'Is it you, you troubler of Israel?' He said, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals.'" We mentioned this before. Here Ahab, the one who's destroying Israel with the idolatry that he's introduced, pulling people farther and farther into wickedness, to the point where God says there was a more wicked king than Ahab, ever. And a prophet of God comes up, and Ahab accuses the prophet of being the troubler of Israel. How could he not see that? Other than that's what he wants to see. When Jeremiah was trying to warn the people not to go against God's word, in Jeremiah chapter 38, there was a time when God told the people, hey, if you stay in Jerusalem, you're going to get destroyed. Jerusalem is going to fall. You'd be better off out of here. You think the people in Jerusalem liked hearing that? Especially the king? In Jeremiah 38, starting with verse 1. Now, Zephathiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pushar, and Jechal, the son of Shemaiah, and Pushar, the son of Malachi, heard the words of Jeremiah, was speaking to all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, he who stays in the city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence, but he who goes out to the Chaldeans will live and have his own life as booty and stay alive. Thus says the Lord, this city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylon, and he will capture it. Then the officials said to the king, now let this man be put to death, inasmuch as he is discouraging the men of war who are left in the city and all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the well-being of this people, but rather their harm. Jeremiah is telling the truth. And he did tell the truth. People died because they didn't listen. He was trying to save people. But they just didn't want to hear the truth. Now, Paul helped start several churches. And in the Galatian area, he was quite popular. He was somebody that they admired, somebody they had flocked to, somebody that they had listened to. But Paul points out that when he had to get on their case because they were following false teachers, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, Galatians 4 and verse 16, he says, so have I become an enemy by telling you the truth? There are people who would much rather be told falsehoods than hear the truth. And this is after the Galatians had accepted Paul. They turned on him just as fast. See, in each case, the truth was told. A truth that the receiver did not want to hear. But that can't be their fault. Obviously, if I'm being told something I don't want to hear, then it's not, the problem's not me, it has to be you. Has to be the person who's telling me what I don't want to hear. So it's always the messenger's fault. People want to be told that they're all right, just as they are. They don't have to change. And God's going to find that perfectly acceptable. One of my reasons why I don't like modern psychology. Because basically one of its tenets is that you basically make a person feel not guilty. You don't change the person, you just make him feel not guilty about what he's doing. In Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah 30 and starting verse 10. Who says to the seers, you must not see visions. And to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. See how people act? I'd much rather be told a lie because it makes me feel good about myself than hear the truth that makes me uncomfortable. And the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of people who are just plain blind to the truth. Jesus talked about the Pharisees in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 39. He also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? When a person is following after falsehood, he can't lead you to the truth. It's simple logic. It doesn't work that way. But oh, it doesn't stop people from trying. We have to understand there are people that have no truth in them. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. There are people who just basically look at religion as a way of making money, who don't have truth and really are not interested in truth. And they'll twist words any which way they can to make it come out the way they want it to, because they're really not interested in truth. They're just interested in justifying what they want to teach. Again, going back to John chapter 3. John 3 and verse 19 again. John chapter 3, starting with verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. The wicked don't want the truth. Sometimes people wonder, well, I'm telling them as it is. Why is it being rejected? Because people really don't want to hear that. Take a look at John 8 and in verse 45. John 8, starting with verse 45. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. People who are wicked, people who want to justify their actions, their misdeeds, their sins, will not listen to the truth, no matter how plainly it's presented. Then you also have people who just lie. And what's interesting is those who lie most often are the victims of liars. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, why is that? Why is it that liars are more likely to be deceived by liars? One of the problems is that because people don't recognize the truth. They so often mix lies in what they do, they just assume everybody else is lying too. And really what they come down to is they pick their favorite lie. Some people think there's safety in lies. Take a look at Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 and verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Do you see what they were doing? Isaiah was warning them that Jerusalem was going to get destroyed. It won't happen to us because we're going to lie our way out of it. We're going to fool everybody, and it's not going to happen. But what they're doing is lying to themselves. In Isaiah 59, Isaiah 59, starting with verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. People just put their trust in empty words. They put their trust in lies, somehow thinking that that's going to protect them. But what they actually end up doing is living in lies. Going to Jeremiah this time, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah 9, starting with verse 3. They bend their tongue like a bow. Lies and not truth prevails in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let every one be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. Because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They taught their tongues to speak lies, and they weary themselves in committing iniquity. Their whole life, it revolves around lies. Remember what we said, a blind man can't lead a blind man. A liar cannot find the truth. And so they deceive themselves. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Peter 2 verse 12. But these, like reasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling what they where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of these creatures also be destroyed. This is what a lot of people do. They don't understand the truth, so something to make fun of, something to degrade, something to put off. You see that constantly. But as Christians, we understand there are people with blinders on. There are people that lie to themselves. There are people that don't look at the truth. And we as Christians have to be people that do want the truth. That means we have to be truthful people. We can't be blind and lead ourselves to the truth. We can't be liars and do so. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth with each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Truth has to be first sought out. We have to be people who tell the truth if we're going to expect to find the truth. We have to want the truth so much that we'll work hard to get it. There's a series of passages I want to read out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, starting with verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you seek it out, if you treasure it, if you want it so bad that you look for it like you're looking for buried treasure. I read these passages, I think about my brother Steve up north. He's been looking for, got into gold prospecting. He keeps telling me all the stuff he's doing. I'm going, that's a lot of work for a little nugget. But they find value in it. How much do we value truth? How much effort will we put into it to gain it? Over in Proverbs 8, verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. That's wisdom talking. If somebody puts the effort into it, then they'll find it. In Proverbs 23, in verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. So many people want truth for free. Well, if it comes my way, I'll take it. The point here is we got to spend ourselves to get it and then hang on to it. What we really ought to do is fear not having the truth. Over in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. It starts with fear. Fear of the idea that I might not have the truth. So I need to look for it. The fear of God of what the consequences might be if I don't have it. Going back to Proverbs 4, this time to verse 5. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. We have to find the truth and we need to hang on to it. We can't let it slip by either. We got to hold on to the truth. Because where we end up begins where we are looking to go. In Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 7, says, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Where does this start? It starts with what you're seeking, what you're looking for, and how you behave. We have to be a people who want the truth so badly that it doesn't matter whether it's something I really wanted to hear or not, as long as it is true. Because that truth is the only thing that's really going to set us free. I hope you'll think about these things tonight. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than the time that we have together to put on Christ in the form of baptism. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on the behalf. We also make that time available. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of Selective?